Hi, I'm Rilo, and you're about to listen to an episode of the podcast I co-host. And since you're about to listen to this podcast, I can assume you're a Venture fan. And since you're a Venture fan, I bet you know that the show was unfortunately canceled. What you might not know about, however, is the fan movement to try and show support and get Doc and Jackson the 8th season they'd been greenlit for. They aren't satisfied with the note it ended on, and neither are we. If you go to Guild Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, you'll find a link tree with all the information you need to get involved. Now on with the show, and go Team Venture.
Incoming Guild Transmission, Bravo, Uniform, Dango, Dango, Echo, Romeo, Foxtrot, Lima, Yankee. Welcome to the Guild of Glamorous Outpost.
Hello!
Hi!
I'm Rilo, I'm your vet fan.
We sound different. I'm Garden, I'm your baby fan, and we sound awesome!
That's because we're recording this season in a different way, and you are listening to Guild of Calamitous Podcast, an unofficial Venture Brothers rewatch podcast. We are now recording via Zoom, so... Buckle up. This is going to be an experiment as everything else changes in the show this season. So that works. It works out well.
Indeed.
So to set the scene, 2008.
An interesting time.
Very interesting time.
I nearly died that year.
You nearly died that year. There was a massive flood in our hometown.
Yeah, that was in 2008.
Obama was elected.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of stuff all at once. And more importantly, Venture Brothers came back for season 3. And they made the jump to HD. Which means everything looks way prettier now. And I guess... that's the best way to bring us into the episode we're looking at today, which is episode 1 of season 3, Shadow Man 9 in the Cradle of Destiny, written by Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick, directed by Jackson Publick, with an original air date of June 1st, 2008. This is one of the tiny cast episodes, as in only 3 voice actors, and they are James Urbaniak as Phantom Lim and Councilman 7, Chris McCulloch as The Monarch, Henchman 24, Watch, Tim Tom, Councilman 2, Councilman 8, Councilman 9, and The Sovereign, and Doc Hammer as Dr. Girlfriend, Henchman 21, Ward, Kevin, Councilman 1, and Councilman 3. Cut off the number there. Yeah.
There's a lot in this episode for only
They set up for a pretty epic season with 3 voice actors. And there's another episode this season later on that has, I want to say it's just Center Nicholas, Dean, and then Jackson and Doc. And that's it. That's the whole voice cast for the episode. So, yeah, we're in HD now, and
it's gorgeous,
and it's very pretty, and they make sure we know it's very pretty, because we get a big action scene, and one of the first things, if you're watching the home release, you'll notice, is they can say fuck now. This is the first season that is released completely uncensored, for better or for worse.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to hear the monarch just say, fuck! You know, just love it.
I just prefer not having beeps or other...
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point where even, like, other shows like South Park are re-releasing older seasons uncensored that weren't uncensored in their first release. So, I mean, it's a new era. Maybe we'll get an uncensored version of season one and two now that the show is...
In dubious waters.
In limbo. Maybe we'll get like a complete collection on Blu-ray that's uncensored.
Oh yeah, just what you need. More Blu-ray shopping.
Just what I need. More Blu-ray shopping. More DVDs. More, just give me more discs. So yeah, we got big action followed by a monarch-themed show opening.
Which was amazing. I was like, it's all monarch.
Yeah. And they've sort of gotten into that. I don't want to say it's a habit, but it kind of is, of starting the season off with a unique opener that's different than the opening titles for the rest of the season.
I mean, that's not the worst, you know, thing.
It's not the worst thing, but they did it last year, they did it the last season with JJ and Rusty in the first episode. And now this episode is monarch-centric, so naturally we have a monarch-themed opening. And I will point out, in the book, Jackson originally wrote this episode. This is the only way I could think of to fit this in. He originally wrote a season opener while Doc was writing another episode later on in the season by the name of Orb, the titular Orb episode. So he had written an episode, and Jackson's original plan was to answer the big question that, by the way, we don't get an answer for, what goes between Monarch, and then the what? He was gonna have Dr. Girlfriend be pregnant. Doc was against it. We did discuss that. But Doc was completely against it, and I think we're better for it, because I mean, this opening is great.
It's killer. And I'm just, since you got me copies of all the nice home releases, I get to watch them on my big TV instead of my phone, and it was glorious.
See, I like to help out fellow guild members. So we get the Moppets.
I love the Moppets.
I love the Moppets so much. Okay.
I now feel your affection for the Moppets.
And I want to say, I think we're the only people in the fandom who love the genuinely love the Moppets.
It's such a
Love Kevin and Tin Tom so much.
It's such a beautiful combination of the Little Lord Fauntleroy, and if you're into Victoriana, you've heard of Little Lord Fauntleroy. And this is one of my weird things, is the Little Lord Fauntleroy outfits, and every single little kid boy was put in those things for like
outfits you're 40 years. I know the outfits you're talking about. Yeah,
the Little Lord Fauntleroy outfit. Alternatively, if you're not into Victoriana, the berries and cream commercial. That's a Little Lord Fauntleroy outfit,
which I want to say came out about this time.
Yes, I don't know why Little Lord Fauntleroy became a joke in 2008, but it was in a lot of things, with the little page boy, like cap and overly ruffled suit.
I love Kevin and Tin Tom so much.
But I love that it's the intersection of that, like,
over and the just top, evil innocent gremlins.
Please. Yeah, just like
just horrible, horrible, awful. They creatures.
Remind me of guys who would follow me when I lived in Philadelphia.
God,
I'm not just saying. That's the type of creeps who would like end up following me when I'm like walking back from CVS at like 9 p.m.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. Don't live in Center City, Philadelphia, kids.
And we also find out what the numbers mean, which, I mean, it's kind of made sense. I think we already kind of knew, but they affirm that they're ranks. But I find it hilarious that 21 and 24 are the most... There's no one else below them.
It's not incompetency, it's in seniority. My cat is trying to love me.
I don't think it's in seniority either. 21 and 24, it's from the lore that we have, it seems like they've been with the monarch for most of his arching career.
Yeah, but if they're the highest ranking.
But that's because no one else is alive below that rank.
Yes, so therefore it makes sense that it's rank on seniority. Because
when you rank up, wouldn't you rank up?
Not necessarily.
Don't you think 21 would eventually become
number one? But if you're always known as 21.
I guess you got a point.
You know, it's kind of like the codename Kids Next Door. You know, you pick your number and that's your number.
Number.
Yes. Number 24.
And this episode introduces an ongoing character that we're going to see and learn more about as the show progresses. The Council of 13, which are the governing body of the Guild of Calamitous Intent. And they started out as, so the silhouettes.
I love them.
It's literally just silhouettes of characters that they already had. Characters that they already had in like they had the files for it. They're like, okay, just silhouette that. There you go. But they all eventually do get backstory. And I adore each and every one of them. And like I said, we find out their identities later on. It's great. It's beautiful. They're beautiful, beautifully crafted characters already. It's more of a crucible.
I love the voices. It was so
the voices. The
voices are everywhere. They also fit so well.
Yeah, and they really make the characters. And I mean, I'd go out on a limb not knowing the true nature of how the creation process went, but I know at least two of them, because they're on the record multiple times saying it, two of them are just their dueling Alex Guinness impressions. Doc has one and Jackson has one. And
yeah, that makes sense.
And one sounds like they're roaring drunk. The other one. and those two characters are the ones we're going to probably see the most of going forward.
Probably.
The Council of 13 people, we're finally here. We're finally to a point where we find out who's behind the guild.
At least who's partially behind the guild.
Partially. It's really the sovereign who leads the guild.
It's an association. You know,
it's an association.
It's got branches.
It's ruled by committee. That's the only way I can put it. It is.
It's an HOA of villains?
What is association of villains? I mean,
I'm not.
It's
wrong.
About as ruthless as a homeowners association.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. You're really not wrong. It is. It is a homeowners association.
Of villainy. Which makes sense because most homeowners associations are quite villainous in and of themselves.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Concept. Start a homeowners association. Name it the Guild of Calamitous Intent.
Watch Fall of Humanity follow. So they interrogate the monarchs, and I like the concept that they have this omnipresence, that they can just record every interaction
every
villain has. They're everywhere. They're Big Brother. The guild is Big Brother, and they're always watching.
Nope. Don't like that.
Don't like that. They're watching us. They're watching us, Garden. Garden, they're watching us.
I don't want them to watch me.
Oh, they're already watching us.
Then they know how much of a potato I am.
I think that also gives us one of the best lines from Dr. Girlfriend. You eviled your legs. Like, I love how Phantom Limb's trying to like be sexy and mysterious, but he's just coming off.
Have gone for the pants straight off. Like,
I know he just drops.
You
trow.
Have two missing arms.
Yeah, why don't you just take your jacket off?
Take your glove off.
No, because that's not how.
We're just gonna drop trow in a public park.
We're just gonna drop trow in a public park. Oh God!
I'm sorry. No, no, honey.
No.
Don't do that. No.
Not the way to get women, or to woo them to be evil. I don't recommend it. I do
not.
It's
not the way I would have gone.
No. There's so many other ways you could have taken that, friend. And we also see some of Dr. Girlfriend's past identities. I mean, because she was Lady Au Pair.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked some of the options that I like how, by the way, I love how Watch and Ward are like,
the only two.
They are the only employees. Like, standard,
I am the only
regular
human face
employee.
And then, the only human face, man.
And then Ward shows up with his Fritas, not Fritos.
Bag of Fritos.
It's not no Fritas.
Yeah,
Fritas,
I saw
copyright
that,
free.
But it's they're Fritos.
No, he's they're Fritas.
Eating,
they're Fritas.
He's eating corn chips.
A corn chip of an undiscernible brand. Like, just God,
Man, I could go for some Fritos. I'm hungry. I need to eat dinner. And I'm like, ooh.
Frito sounds good.
Mexican. Honestly, I just want guac. Like, seriously, who just eats straight Fritos, though?
Ward.
Why would you?
Ward does that while drinking his juice box.
I mean,
they're actual children. They're actual children.
I buy juice boxes.
I do too.
I have a cat. And juice boxes don't spill.
Yeah. See, we're comes together.
We're big babies.
It all comes together.
But so the possible identities of Dr. Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift and cats.
Mink the Lovely. I just noticed something. So I sent these pages, by the way, to Garden from the book. Do not read those. They have a massive spoiler. Do not read them.
I can't even read them because I have to have them up on my phone.
Yeah, do not.
The text is too okay. Don't. Okay, you can delete those, you know.
Yeah, well, I can't get into our chat right now because we are recording a podcast to be professional. Yeah, so Taylor Swift and I just noticed it because I was looking at the page. And I'm like, oh, well, fuck.
Taylor Swift and cats.
Taylor Swift and cats.
Sexy fur lady bathing in mink blood. Okay, but.
Mink the lovely. Radioactive mink blood.
Radioactive mink blood.
And then.
Betty Rage.
Betty Rage, who people have cosplayed as Betty Rage, and I am here for it.
Don't tempt me.
I'm here. I am not confirming or denying, but I am saying Dragon Con 2021.
I already have plans for that.
Betty Rage.
But Monarch and Dr. Girlfriend. Because I found things.
Oh, that's, you're hearing it here first, people.
I'm working on it. It's in progress.
Work in progress. And then we also
sourcing.
We also find out Monarch's henching past. He was a henchman for
Phantom Limb.
For Phantom Limb.
He was number 9.
He thought he was number 6. I love that idiot so much. She's so dumb.
But
Malcolm, you're a dumb.
He has aspirations.
You're a dumb person.
He has aspirations.
I will say, I love. Dreams. He has dreams. He does have dreams. And I love how the councilman can't say silence at the right time.
No, one of them does get it.
Finally, yeah, finally. I don't know what number they are. I know what their identity is, but I'm not saying.
You're
that,
not going to tell me.
No, but I don't know. I don't remember what number they are, but I know which one said it correctly. And yeah, that makes it difficult. It's really difficult starting. Like, it was easier recording this podcast, listeners, before we got to this season. But now there's like more to like hide. It was easier to hide stuff. So hard. Life is rough, as it was for the Monarch in college. So we see.
He tried to blow up.
Yeah, and so chair. It turns out remember that Mousketool? See, now we're starting to take the Mousketools out.
Yep.
Remember the Mousketool from past tense? We talk about how he blew off Werner Underbite's
jaw
in a lab explosion. It was actually the Monarch, and Rusty got
blamed. I wonder how Underbite would feel about that.
I don't know. We'll have to see, because we do see Underbite again eventually. I don't think this season, but we do see him again eventually. He comes back.
Yeah. Tries to blow him up.
He tries.
Yeah. He tried.
I mean, it was A for effort. A for effort, Malcolm. Then, he's Malcolm. Then, we now know the Monarch's first name.
It's Malcolm.
Malcolm and Sheila. So that's a tidbit that you can Mousketool to save for later. Malcolm is the Monarch's legal name. We also see the original Monarch costume, which I want to say, yeah, no, it's different. I was going to say, I think it's kind of like the one from the pilot, but not, because the one in the pilot had sort of was fuzzy.
Yeah, the fuzz.
The fuzz. But we see the first Monarch Mobile, and
I love that thing. It has
the flapping wings.
The flapping wings, the fuzzy butterfly steering wheel.
The interior block.
The
shag interior. Ugh.
Iconic.
It's so ugly. It is so ugly. It's beautiful.
I have seen uglier cars.
Me too. But like, and I liked him yelling and driving through the compound. And I also like how he gets beaten up by Myra and Helper.
Yeah, Myra was a surprise.
Well, we know Myra, and this comes up again throughout this season. As because this season is a lot of filling in the backstory that we never got in season one and two. And so we see, this is just the first of like a couple more times where we see when Myra was Rusty's sane. Bodyguard. No, she was never sane, but she was Rusty's bodyguard.
A little bit more sane. She had a toe in reality.
Yeah, it was like the baby toe. It wasn't like a proper toe in reality.
But a toe nonetheless.
A toe nonetheless, and that's all you need. Out of all of the characters that are just sort of one-off and mentioned but not fully developed, I think my favorite, and we hear about him. I think this is the first time we hear about him. Joseph and his amazing Technicolor nightmare coat. As a theater gay, that thrilled me to no end.
I saw that and I'm like, oh, Rilo loves this.
I do. I love Joseph and his amazing Technicolor nightmare coat. And he's in a few other episodes in the background, and I really wish they would. Like, if we could get a season 8, can we expand upon him, boys?
Can you get an episode with Joseph and his amazing Technicolor nightmare coat?
Please, Astro Boys.
I don't even want to know him. I just want to know how the coat works.
Yeah. Like, I want to know, like, does the coat have powers, or is it just like his name? Is he just like,
is the coat made of nightmares?
Or concept. He is a former actor, possibly an Osmond, who played Joseph and stole the coat and then became a villain.
But again, does the coat create nightmares? Is it made of nightmares?
Well, that would mean he was an elemental.
If you look into the coat, do you see your nightmares?
Well, that would mean he's an elemental. So then we get into sort of triad type stuff. And we're just going to get too deep in our own bullshit if we go any further down this line.
Spoon feed me the bullshit.
Because we got to talk about the stanza.
Oh, the stanza. Doug's gonna kill him.
My dad. I didn't finish paying him off. I have a t-shirt that says that. And it has the wrecked stanza on it.
And R.I.P. it is the wrecked stanza. Also, them finding the old Monarch Mobile.
The old Monarch Mobile. We could have been riding around in this instead of your crappy stanza.
My stanza.
We also, in the background, while they're cleaning up the cocoon, we see the giant hair dryer from when...
A giant penny.
The giant penny that he used to crush Wonder Boy. Which, that's a Mouskatool.
Okay.
To put in your noggin. Because that was on his to-do list that he gave 21 and 24.
Yes.
Let's... crush, just kill Wonder Boy. the giant penny. And then also the giant hair dryer for the piranha. Was it? I think it was piranhas or sharks. I don't know. After 21 publishes that tell all. And he's to execute one of the henchmen.
Yep.
Like, so you get some callbacks to props like that. And I mean, that's super cool because they had to redo
all of it.
Everything, all of the props, all the characters, all the backgrounds, it all had to be redone for HD. So the fact that they're like, yeah, let's remake that one.
Grab the hair dryer, it'll take 10 minutes.
That one and the penny.
Just the penny.
The giant monarch penny.
I want one.
I have a giant monarch penny for you. I actually do.
You do?
I do actually have one. I do.
I'm going to cast it. I'm going to make one that glows in the dark.
That's funny. Cool. I like that.
Because I can.
So, we get the first of the many nicknames that 21 and 24 give Tim Town and Kevin. Midgetlers. Which, I mean...
That's not bad.
It's not bad. There are other names they call them.
I don't doubt it.
Because, God, Tim, Tom, and Kevin really getting up on 21 and 24 this season. Like, hard. To be fair,
they kind of put themselves there.
Yeah. Because they are number twos to Dr. Girlfriend. And then 21 and 24 are number twos. Kind of top henchmen, I guess, levels, because they're number twos to each other now, aren't they? Monarch.
Dr.
Mrs. the Monarch. Which I guess that's now her name, Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, I guess, at this point in the series.
Officially.
So I like how they decide to call Brock, though. I like how that's like, you know.
Who's the biggest, baddest motherfucker we know?
Who's the one guy who's also, like, torn through all of our friends? Oh! And I like how they have Brock's number, too. Like, that's something they have.
Yeah. I want answers. How did you get that number?
Maybe it's, because, you know, we find out more about the whole arching arrangement between different villains. You know, maybe it's something like that. Because, I mean, I guess episode 4, we find out more about arching.
Henchmen coordinating, you know, it's like, hey, you know.
And scheduling.
For our listeners, like, you know, hey, we're planning on doing this next Tuesday. Does that work for you? No, next Tuesday is not good. We're going to the beach. You know, there's going to be a big monster. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that sort of stuff.
We're not going to be in town.
I don't know why I wrote this, but it is true. One of my favorite things about this show is the bureaucracy with the guild. And I just find the council absolutely hilarious. The fact that it's ruled by committee, one. That they have, like, this president, and that they have these, like, laws that they abide by. Like, it explains so much that you've kind of always wondered about how villainy works.
They require insurance, for God's sake. It is
They have insurance, and later, a throwaway line later on in the show is, watch it, we're talking about the Orphans and Widows Fund. Like,
there was actually another throwaway in this episode, actually. Yeah, when Watch and Ward are talking to Sheila about what she wants to do.
The general studies program.
Yeah, she's in general studies. I'm yeah. like, there's a college for this?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. The it's, yeah, it's,
I it's mean, a whole it, thing. It, it's it a answers whole societal thing.
It answers questions, but also makes more questions.
So many more.
Which, I mean, I'm sure that's what, either intentionally or unintentionally, that's what they were out to do, to do with every little breadcrumb they gave us. I really like, though, Monarch donning the colors for love. And I also like how he totally tricked 24 to taking his number for the night. So he could,
yeah.
he could woo Queen Etheria. And
which then, she was very effective at. I'm yeah. like, dude.
Yeah, very effective.
How are you that 12? Where did you get?
I don't know. I don't know. And I like,
dude, they, smooth.
They kept, and they, I like how they made sure to give Sheila the haircut of the girl from Republica, because that was a throwaway line. yeah.
Trunculies is back.
Oh yeah, and Trunculies. We get more Trunculies.
I'm so happy.
I really love Trunculies a lot. Trunculies is such a great character. And I also like how they have that. First of all, they have a wipe.
Yeah.
Between the party and Monarch and Malcolm and Sheila being done screwing in the Monarch mobile, which they need a bigger back seat for the henchmen.
Oh, that was like really sweet.
That's yeah, I know. There's some really sweet.
I'm like, that's so tender and adorable.
I know. I love them. I want them to succeed and be happy.
Also, I will say one thing for Monarch. He's so supportive of her, and we don't see that in the earlier episodes.
No, and we see that more and more going forward. He's so supportive. More and more going forward, you see that.
Like, go Dr. Girlfriend. I love my wife.
I love my wife. Like, yeah.
He is gets, John Mulaney.
He
of villains.
Yeah, I know. I want to say I used that. The image of she's a 5 foot tall Jewish bitch, and I love her so much. For a series of tweets I did, that was Met Your Brothers, but as John Mulaney quotes, that was the Monarchs, because he is, and you see that more going forward. You see how he's deeply supportive of her. And it's really a sweet.
It's very wholesome.
They have, also very smooth in line to Phantom Limb.
Manator,
mighty Manator, yeah, well done. I like the Adobe Premiere shout out gets me too.
We got Adobe Premiere 3.
Councilman 3 got Adobe Premiere.
That was so long ago.
I thought it was too showy. So good. And the fact that they had to change the song because...
they couldn't get the rights.
They couldn't get the rights.
Bjork wasn't down.
I know it was ready to sign, but Bjork wasn't. Which, if you ever listened to the Sugar Cubes, that's... You could tell, like, it's a Sugar Cubes-esque song on the radio, but it doesn't have.
It's not Bjork.
But it's not Bjork. And God, by the way, that. So I found out about the Sugar Cubes sidetrack from this show, and this band fucking mystifies me. You can look them up. I'm genuinely confused by them. Why? 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 Like, I don't... There's, like, no excuse for them to exist. Like, and already, this may be an unpopular opinion, I don't like Bjork. So, already, I was set up to not enjoy this music. But then I get there, and it's baffling that they made money. They made money selling. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. And you know, can tell
I've heard
me.
The sugar cubes before.
It's not good. Like, yeah, don't try to tell me.
It could be a lot worse, though.
Don't try to tell me. Don't try to tell me that they were a good band. They were not a good band.
No, I'm not saying they're a good band. I'm saying they could be much worse.
No.
I am very neutral on Bjork. I have no opinion on Bjork.
I don't even know why I hate Bjork so much. Like, there's just this...
Is it the name?
No, I don't know. It's just like this deep-seated hatred for Bjork.
And we're sorry, Bjork.
Bjork. I'm sure you're a lovely person.
Individual.
But maybe it was the swan dress? Maybe that was it?
I don't know.
Was she the one with the swan dress?
I don't remember. There have been so many gimmick dresses.
Yeah, like... something about Bjork really set me off.
Ticked you off.
Yeah, it was a swan dress. There we go. Yeah, oh, that God. Was her. If you look her up, in 2001 at the Academy Awards, she wore this dress that looked like a swan. Yeah, Garden's Googling it right now.
I'm Googling it right now. I have not seen this.
Yeah, I guess that is where my hatred of Bjork started. And I don't know why that's so deeply ingrained into my psyche.
That could be so much worse.
I know. It's really stupid. It's legitimately stupid.
It's not even that bad. Like, yeah, it could probably be constructed a little better head-wise.
It's
but
legitimately
like,
stupid. It's so stupid.
It's not even that bad. Why are you so angry at this?
I don't know. It's just so ingrained.
When I was in art school, I watched a fashion show where the girl had like this changing dress. And so she walked out and her head was just a pom-pom of tulle. It was literally like a ball. And I'm like, how the hell can you see? And then she like brings it down and it becomes like a poofy skirt. I'm like, that is the most pointless. Why would you walk around with a pom-pom for a head? That was so much worse than this dress.
Yeah, I don't. It's like I said, it's stupid. It is.
That is very.
So we kind of get an answer. Yeah, I know. You're just like, I don't. God,
I don't understand you.
Yeah, it's this, like I said, it's this deep-seated hatred for Bjork. I don't understand it, and I'm pretty sure it was a swan dress. I want to say it was a swan dress. That's where it starts and ends for me, because I think that was also the first time I ever heard Bjork.
Was the swan dress.
Was with the swan dress at the Academy Awards in 2001. Apparently that made impact.
We're moving on from Bjork. Let's talk about Sheila's very impassioned plea for the monarch's innocence.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, bring it home, girl.
Yeah, she loves that man. She really does. And I like a not answer for what she said. Monarch, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what you should have said in the escape cocoon. And we get the Sovereign. Now in glorious HD. Same filming practice.
I was like, what the fuck?
Same filming practice.
This is majestic.
Though. Yeah, but same filming practice.
But majestic,
yeah. Jackson Public has never looked prettier than
it's
HD.
It's David Bowie.
Yeah, I like that Monarch has to whisper that too. Sheila. And we go back to the cocoon and Brock's agreeing to help rebuild it. Which throws 21 and 24 off guard. He's taking a hammer. This should be good. Where's Tim Top? Maybe he already killed him. And 21 just immediately throws 24 under the bus.
Oh, yeah. Just like, it wasn't me. It was him.
It was him. And we get really probably one of the most beautifully animated scenes in the whole show. At least.
This is actually a very interesting callback that I learned about because I was like, I recognize that music. It ties back in to season 2 with 24 and 21 singing Mars. That's Jupiter from the same the planets.
No way. No way. Like it's I knew Jupiter. It wasn't I knew it wasn't a Thurwell song. I just didn't know
it's by Holst. It's Jupiter from the planets. It ties back into Mars from season 2.
So good. It's so beautiful though, because you get the mashup of all of the villains showing up to rebuild the cocoon. So,
and it's like this big triumphant.
And you get Sheila and Malcolm getting married in the eyes of the guild.
Of the guild. I saw that you wrote I cry, and I'm like, I was also very, very emotional.
It's really beautiful. It is such a
beautiful
scene.
If I ever get married again, I'm having you put a snake around our wrists.
You're going to have to get someone else because I do not do snakes.
No, not a real snake.
Oh, a fake snake?
I can do a plastic one. I don't want to do...
You're like, I don't want to deal with a real snake at my wedding.
No, that's too much work.
That's too much effort.
Like, no, use a fake snake.
Yeah, that is honestly... I mean, I'll go out and...
Why strip them though?
It's just don't ask questions.
I'm asking questions. Why do they have
They never explain it. I think it's just to.
Question number 2: where does the monarch get his underwear? Because that is custom monarch underwear.
Was it? I thought it was just
like black. No, it was like black and gold majestic boxers.
No, it's a thong.
No?
He has the same underwear. The whole show, they never get him new underwear. Like Sheila's underwear changes.
Yeah.
But Monarch has the same sort of
leopard print E.
Leopard pretty banana thong. Hammock thing. Yeah.
I've sworn I saw shorts.
I mean, we've seen shorts on other characters.
Yeah, it's probably just my brain going.
You've been dealing with things and you've watched like what? I don't know how many episodes you've clocked in.
I only watched 2 today because
that's all we had to record.
For our listeners, we were struggling to get this recorded because I haven't had internet for 3 days and then the tech finally came today.
So we're finally able to record. So
yeah.
It was touch and go.
It's here, it's gone. It's here, it's gone.
It's on, it's off, it's on.
It's on, it's off.
So we get that beautiful scene, which I will go out on a limb and say that is probably one of the most beautiful scenes I've ever seen in animation. Which is,
It was beautiful.
It's a mixture of the music. And I mean, that's a credit to the storyboard artists and the fact that it's in HD now. And
it's all pretty.
Yeah, it is a very touching. And
the thing is that the Jupiter is also, it's that, you know, triumphant.
And you get the swelling of the.
Yeah. And that was the whole point behind Jupiter. Da, 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 da. Because yeah, it comes after Mars, which is war.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you get those swelling horns, and oh, God, it's delicious. Like that's the only word I can think of.
Sorry, the cat just leapt really hard. Like he's trying to attack my hand, and he just stopped and looked up, and his tongue was like,
yeah, because he
leapt. full blep.
He blepped because he knows that it's delicious.
What,
no, the music. And then you get Monarch, you know, carrying Dr. Girlfriend over the threshold. And I don't know if you realized it, but the usurpation, you know what they're usurping? Phantom Limb's house. They now own it.
Yep. No, I did see that.
Which comes
kill
back.
Kill everyone. Now, I recognize that.
Cottle recognizes Zone. She deploys his wings with her ass.
With her ass.
With the booty. Probably also another favorite.
She got that booty, though?
She do! probably one of the best end lines for an episode. Nobody retires from Phantom Limb's shit list.
But that... I think that also, that's kind of a beautiful tie back to Sheila's impassioned plea for Monarch's innocence, is that Phantom Limb can't be that dumb.
No. No.
But he is.
But he is. He really is. He really is. And God. I mean, like, fuck Phantom Limb. Poor Manator. May he rest in peace.
He's retired. He's working as a security guard. You know, he's probably working nights.
But no one retires from Phantom Limb's shit list. And
he probably didn't even have an idea was on Phantom Limb's shit list.
He didn't have an idea because that wasn't him who slept with Sheila. So, and that brings us to the end of this long-winded episode. We are all over the place, but I think we had fun because we could see each other while we're talking, and that's interesting.
It's fun!
And it got distracting, but we learned a lot about me. We learned a lot about me and my hatred of Bjork.
A bit too much, I think.
Yeah, I'm not cutting any of that out, by the way.
That's
so
okay.
But sorry to all the Bjork fans.
And Bjork.
Listen to us. And Bjork. So next time on Guild of Calamus podcast, we get to talk about another one of my favorite episodes. Season 3 is a lot of setup. It's a lot of setup and a lot of
I kind of got that from Just these two episodes.
Yeah.
It was a lot of...
It's a lot of...
Wrapping
things and opening more doors.
I wouldn't say wrapping things up, but packaging very nicely.
I feel like, even just judging by this episode that we just discussed, they definitely had felt... it seems like they had a bit more freedom just because... they had a 2-season order this time. So they knew that they were
not
coming
only
back
freedom,
for
but
4.
Security.
Security.
Because they're allowing
which one
themselves
would think
to
that they should
out.
Have had, which is, I, with season 7, because they were renewed for season 8. Womp, womp. I'm still upset. So, Wednesday, when you guys listen to this, you'll be listening to our next episode, which is The Doctor is Sin.
Beautiful pun.
It's good stuff. I'm so glad we're on to season 3 because now we're into like episodes that I really deeply love, like this one.
You're so excited.
I really am, because we're now really getting into the episodes I watch, like, frequently. Because season 1 and 2, while I love them, I don't rewatch them a lot. I watch a lot of season 3, season 4, season 5, season 6, season 7. Like,
The core.
Beyond the sort of... establishing the world episodes. I'm excited because we get to talk about episodes I genuinely, like, have rewatched a million times. And I guess, as always, end this the way we know how.
And this time in time.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Go Team Venture! We love you guys.
Have a great day.